Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel. May it please the Court. My name is Patrick Cotter. I represent appellants in this matter. Theodorus Mantzis, on his own behalf and on behalf of his now-defunct company, Helmus Food. Your Honor, we raise two arguments in our appeal. The first is that the sentence imposed by the district court on Helmus Food in this case was illegal. It was illegal because Helmus Food was not an organization subject to being sentenced pursuant to the sentencing guidelines at the time. And the only reason we submit that the court imposed this illegal sentence was that the court, the government, the probation department, and the defendant and his counsel were all under the mistaken belief that Helmus Food Corporation was, in fact, an organization subject to being sentenced pursuant to the statute. After the direct appeal was concluded in this matter, the defendant, for the first time, became aware of the legal significance of a change in status of his corporation, which had occurred long before the trial. He realized that his company had become a sole proprietorship. At the time of the trial, Mr. Mantzis, the defendant, was in sole possession of that information and did not disclose it to his counsel because, frankly, as an immigrant to this country without any advanced education and, frankly, unaware of the rather subtle distinction contained in the sentencing guidelines between corporations, partnerships, and sole proprietorships, he did not realize that if he was a sole proprietorship, Helmus Food was not subject to the sentence in this case. That sentence was $250,000 fine, $800 fees. After the appeal in this matter, when Mr. Mantzis became aware of the significance of the fact that he was in possession of, he did communicate it ultimately to the court. He tried to file a motion pursuant to 2255. The court rejected that, saying that it was inappropriate. He later, pro se, filed a motion for writ of error coram nobis, which was rejected. He brought that under other grounds. He then finally retained counsel on the matter, and we brought a motion for writ of error coram nobis to the district court and brought to the court's attention the fact that the court had inadvertently, on the part of all parties, and we need to be very clear about that, no one was aware of this fact, the court had inadvertently imposed an illegal sentence. He was only aware, Your Honor, that he was a sole proprietorship. With respect, Your Honor, there's two relevant facts that make the coram nobis motion appropriate. Not just that it's a sole proprietorship, but you have to, one, know that, and then you have to realize it has some legal significance. No, Your Honor. What the law says on the coram nobis cases say, what this court said in Darnell, is that the defendant has to provide, amongst other things, a sound reason why the error was not brought to the court's attention at an earlier stage in the proceedings. The reason I bring up the fact that Mr. Mantzis, not a lawyer, not well educated, did not bring the fact forward. Not only did he not know it, Your Honor, no one involved in the proceedings below recognized that the legal status of Helmus Food Corporation was any kind of an issue. That's correct, Your Honor. Absolutely, and we are. Yes. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm not sure I understand your question. I would disagree with the court. I think the record is very clear that all of the parties were laboring under a series of misunderstandings. Indeed. No, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that the record clearly demonstrates, and we cite the specific instances in the record in our brief with citations to the transcript. At one point, they thought it might be a partnership. At one point, they thought it was a corporation. It went back and forth. Parties made different. Ultimately, the court resolved the issue and simply said, at the time of sentencing, I'm going to sentence Helmus Food pursuant to the sentencing guidelines, subsection 3571, which applies to organizations. As we demonstrate, I think, rather conclusively in our brief, 3571 does not apply to sole proprietorships. Indeed, the district court, in ruling on our motion for writ of error quorum nobis, never even disputes the fact that the sentence in this case was illegal. They simply, on other grounds, reject the motion for writ of error quorum nobis. But to address the court's point, I don't mean to run away from it. Well, Your Honor, that's true, but... Well, I agree with you, Your Honor, but I also would point out that I think the writ of error quorum nobis was designed exactly for situations like this, where the error below, the fundamental error, which is what this court has required for quorum nobis, was unknown to the parties and was based on a factual misunderstanding. He knew the fact, Judge, and if I may, Your Honor, if... Absolutely. And Your Honor is right, but I'd point out that in every single quorum nobis case, by definition, the fact in theory could have been known. Quorum nobis always assumes there was an error. The United States Supreme Court in the Carlisle case, which is their most recent discussion of quorum nobis, talks about the fact that the quintessential, the classic quorum nobis case, is where after a criminal conviction, it turns out the defendant was underage and could not have been prosecuted as an adult. That's the classic quorum nobis case. Obviously, in that case, Your Honor, the defendant knows how old he is, and he knew it at the time he was prosecuted and sentenced. By definition, we would submit to Your Honor, quorum nobis is designed for cases where, for reasonable reasons, I'm not talking about a situation where somebody knows it and hides it, kind of keeps it in his back pocket as an ace in the hole. I'm talking about a person who may know a fact but has absolutely no reason, and we submit the record is very clear on this, and we go to great lengths to try and establish this in our motion and our briefs. Mr. Mance is an immigrant to this country with no advanced education, where this issue, by the way, was never contested at the trial. The legal status of Helmus was simply not an issue at this trial. Everybody simply assumed that it was subject to being prosecuted. Everybody assumed it was subject to being sentenced as an organization. No one ever had any reason to think it wasn't. In that situation, quorum nobis exists, because quorum nobis says that in our tradition, we don't allow people to be sentenced illegally simply because of a mistaken fact. And our position is, in this case, the mistaken fact was that Mr. Mantis didn't, well, the lawyers didn't know the fact, and Mr. Mantis didn't bring it forward because he had no reason, and no one in his position, we would argue, no reasonable person in his position would have thought that it was significant, any more than telling somebody what the name of his first customer. It simply didn't seem to matter. It was only after the direct appeal had been denied that Mr. Mantis brought it forward in a way that someone was able to recognize that this is relevant and bring it to the attention of the court. Our second point, Your Honor, and this is, I think, at least as important as the illegality of the sentence, the second point is that the district court in this case, in denying the writ of quorum nobis, simply did not apply the proper standard, the standard which this court handed down in the Darnell case. Or I should say, in Darnell, what the court did was summarize the proper considerations a district court should engage in when deciding a writ of error quorum nobis. Very quickly, Your Honor, those... Sorry, I thought it might be a question. I've got enough to worry about, Judge. Your Honor, the five considerations, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I see that my time has run out. Very quickly, Your Honor, I just want to point out there are five considerations the district court, this court has instructed district courts to consider. The district court in this case only mentioned two and did so in passing. One of the considerations that this court has said a court must consider is, of course, the issue wasn't raised below in appeal. If it was raised below in appeal, you can't bring quorum nobis. So a district court has to consider whether there are sound reasons why the issue wasn't raised below. The district court here simply did not do that. In a one-paragraph opinion, they simply said, it wasn't raised below, and I don't see any injustice. Your Honor, I think there's an injustice when an illegal sentence is carried out. I'll save whatever time I have left. Thank you. May it please the court, counsel.
Good morning. Bart Huff on behalf of the United States. The appellants in this case have not and cannot meet any of the three threshold requirements that they need to in order for a writ of error quorum nobis to issue. The first one I'll raise is the one that I think we've dealt with mostly this morning, and that is whether or not They could have raised this earlier, and they clearly could have, as Judge Bauer has pointed out. This information was peculiarly within the knowledge of the defendant. If, in fact, and I'll get back to the if, in fact, in a moment, but if, in fact, this entity was not a partnership and, in fact, was a sole proprietorship, the defendant knew that. And this is not something that was never discussed below. In fact, it was raised on a number of different occasions during colloquies with the court, during the evidence in the case. The agent testified about the fact that this is a partnership, in addition to on several occasions during the sentencing hearing. In fact, toward the end of the sentencing hearing, I believe it's the transcript at page 187, I think that Judge Holman was probably just speaking loosely when he was referring to the entity as a corporation. And Mr. Sussman pointed out, the prosecutor who prosecuted this case, pointed out, Judge, just to make clear, this was a partnership. Right out there in the open, neither the defendant's counsel or the defendant said, hold it, no, that's not true. In fact, I'm a sole proprietorship. I am now, and I was at the time of the offense. In addition, as we pointed out in our papers, the information was not just within the knowledge, or at least could have been within the knowledge of the defendant here. His counsel had the same tax records that they are relying upon now, back at the time of the sentencing. And that's really the only thing that they're relying upon to say that, in fact, Almost Foods was a sole proprietorship. That, I believe, is a dubious conclusion. There is substantial other evidence that was introduced both at the trial and subsequently that, in fact, it was a partnership at the time of the offense, and therefore there is no error whatsoever. But certainly, as the case law requires, they could have raised this earlier, and they have not, and they really haven't provided a very good reason for that. Secondly, and appellant's counsel hasn't had an opportunity to raise this this morning yet, but there's no civil disability here. Because my guess is that he's going to raise it on rebuttal. There was no civil disability here, Your Honor. In fact, you would have to overrule Keene and Bush in order to find that there was a civil disability here. All we're talking about is a fine. There is no liberty interest at issue, and therefore he can't meet the second prong. Taking Judge Bauer's suggestion, I will not go into the third reason, which is addressed in our papers. If there are no further questions from the court, we would ask that the writ of error, the lower court's decision not to issue the writ, be sustained. Thank you, Judge. On the civil disability issue, we will rely on our brief. We think we handle it very clearly. We think they're exactly wrong. We think they completely misread Keene. The issue about whether we had the tax returns. All the parties at the trial had the tax returns. They were attached as an addendum to the pre-sentence investigation report. The court that imposed the illegal sentence had them. The government that asked for the illegal sentence had them. The probation department that in their report, that very report, said that such a sentence was legal, had them. No one recognized the issue. It was never, ever out there. By the way, as far as the government's position now, that they always knew it was a partnership, they indicted Helmos as a corporation. That's what the indictment says. So they didn't know either. Nobody knew. Everybody was all over the block. I think it's very unfair that the one person in this whole thing that was supposed to recognize the legal significance of this fact was the Greek immigrant with no high school education. He was the one who was supposed to understand that the sentencing guidelines wouldn't permit the sentence involved. This sentence hasn't been carried out. This sentence is illegal. This sentence can be corrected. I ask the court to please do so. No, Your Honor. Indeed, Your Honor, he has. But he has no legal training. He has no advanced education. I may have misspoke. He did attend some high school in Greece. He came to the United States as an adult. He attended high school, but he has no legal training. And it is our position that it would
frankly make a mockery of the law to suggest that he should be forced to pay over $200,000 in an illegal fine, which I think all parties have to admit is not allowed under the law, simply because he didn't realize that under the United States Sentencing Guidelines, there's an important distinction between a sole proprietorship, a partnership, and a corporation. The record of the trial, certainly there was evidence at trial about the size of the business. It was a significant business. It was a food wholesaler. Absolutely, Your Honor. I was not trial attorney, but I have read the transcript several times, and I don't believe that was ever an issue one way or the other. I would point out, Your Honor, that the transcript below and the indictment indicate that the defendant and his son were the primary employees. They did there is evidence, I know, of other employees, but it was, while a significant business, and I would not suggest otherwise, this was not anything like a multinational. This was a food wholesaler down in Halstead. Mr. Mantis is a guy who started out with nothing, began this business out of the back of a truck, and eventually lost the business before this trial. But, I'm sorry, Your Honor? And Sam Walton may end up the same way as Mr. Mantis before this is all over, but we'll see. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you.